flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, you guys got to see what we go through behind the scenes here. You have no idea. You have no idea. All right, kickoff of hour number two. We're going to settle down. Thanks to Sean Merriman in the first hour. And Jeremy got me a little hot. A little hot. Now, Jeremy was respectful. But again, Jeremy was upset about a promo that the radio station played. I hope we can do better than this, guys. I'm just begging you. I'm imploring you to do better. Show me that you actually care about the football game and not anything else. Show me that. Show me that you're excited about the football game and not anything else. And here I'm going to just start and I'm going to move on. I asked for underrated, under the radar, kind of diamond in the rough type individual performers for Sunday if the Commanders are going to win the NFC Championship. I'm going to give you one on defense. I'm going to give you one on offense. I'm going to start on defense, and I'm going to give you Dorrance Armstrong. Now, a lot of you probably remember Dorrance Armstrong's sack, force fumble on Saturday night in Detroit against a pretty darn good offensive line. Does not get any easier against Lane Johnson and the Eagles' offensive line. But if Dorrance Armstrong can give me one big play, hopefully two, but one big play, as he has done sort of consistently throughout the year. Remember the big fourth down sack he had against Kyler Murray in Arizona midfield that I think made it from a 14-7 game to a 17-7 game, and then they never looked back? That was a huge play on fourth down. Lit up Kyler Murray like a Christmas tree. The play again last Saturday night. There's been others. Don't have time to go through everything. Dorrance Armstrong, if he can be a force, that's going to theoretically make John Allen better, Daron Payne better, Cleveland Farrell better, Dante Fowler better, Frankie Louvu better, Bobby Wagner better. You get my point. Dorrance Armstrong on defense. Now, I could have gone a lot of different ways. There's no wrong answer. But for me, Dorrance Armstrong is one of those under-the-radar, like non-hyped guys that doesn't get a whole lot of attention, that just does his job, that is going to rush off the left end and go likely against Lane Johnson. And if he wins that matchup once, twice, three times, if he can be a factor, it doesn't even have to be forcing a turnover. Dorrance Armstrong is going to help the Commanders win this game. Now, on offense, I think it's easy to say, look, Trent Scott, right? And I don't know, I saw somewhere that maybe they'll move Andrew Wiley into right guard and put Cornelius Lucas out at right tackle. I'm not sure how that's going to work. I mean, obviously, one was an in-game adjustment. You know, a full week of planning, knowing that Sam Cosmi is not going to be there could be different. I don't know. But to me, to me, this game, yes, will be won by a lot of different things, but considering whoever is at right guard and whoever is at right tackle, and considering that Jalen Carter is going to line up with some sort of shade towards the center, I think people pay attention to Tyler Biadasz, but I don't know if they understand how important he is. Not only to run blocking and getting to the second level, not only in this particular matchup where he was a little bit compromised, quite honestly, in the first matchup in Philadelphia, but also, again, the line calls, switches, communication on the road, silent count, all that stuff, working with Jaden Daniels, and not letting Jalen Carter completely destroy the integrity of everything that you're trying to do. So, listen, of course, De'Ami Brown's important. Of course, Olamide Zaccheaus is important. Of course, Brandon Coleman is important. Of course, I get it. I understand that. But for me, two under the radar, two guys that, you know, a lot of the national media and even the local media and certainly the fan base are not talking about or not thinking about, and maybe some of you are, I think for me, that's where I'm going to go. I can make an argument for a lot of other guys, but because of the matchups, because of what else they do, because of the importance of winning at the line of scrimmage, I'll go with Dorrance Armstrong. I'll go with Tyler Biadasz. Now, maybe many of you are picking Tyler Biadasz because of Jalen Carter. I don't know. We'll find out. But that's where I'm going to go. So I throw that out to you. Two under the radar, offense, defense, one guy, whatever you want to do. And why? Two, Jaden Daniels said this yesterday when asked about being the sixth rookie quarterback since the 1970 merger, which is 54 years ago, to start in a conference championship game. Nobody's won it. He has a chance to become the first one to win it. Sean King, Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez, Brock Purdy. When asked about that, what it would mean to be the first rookie quarterback to start in the Super Bowl, he said, quote, "I'm not even thinking that far. It'd be a blessing if it happened, but I'm just trying to focus on how I can get better day by day," end quote. Knowing what you know about Jaden Daniels, you buy that? I do. I do. I don't think this dude, like, is fazed at all by the spectacle, by the stage, by the moment, by the sheer nature of being 60 minutes away from playing in a Super Bowl in his rookie year. And we all know that, yes, while it's his rookie year, he long ago passed rookie status. But I would say this. Maybe he's different privately. Maybe he's different internally than the public Jaden Daniels. But I'm a pretty good judge of character. And I don't know him well. I know him like you know him. Been around him a little bit. But I don't know him well. Bumped into him in Detroit, said congratulations, what have you. But, you know, it's not like we're buddies or he's sharing any secrets with me. I think it's real. I don't think it's a facade. I don't think there's a public Jaden and a private Jaden. I think it's a real Jaden. And I don't think he's fazed at all. I don't think he's scared. I don't think he's overamped. I don't think he's... I don't think he's in the moment. I just don't think he thinks about anything other than what he has to do. And some people are really, 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 really good at honing in on that. I'm not. As you can tell, a lot of you get under my skin and agitate the bleeping daylights out of me. Okay? And maybe it's because it's been a bad week and I'm a little extra agitated. But I wish I could be as cool and as non-moved, if you will, as Jaden Daniels. That doesn't mean he doesn't care. That doesn't mean he doesn't celebrate. That doesn't mean he's not a great teammate. That doesn't mean he's a dour personality. It's just some dudes are really cool cats, and nothing fazes them. And they don't worry, and they don't have anxiety, and they don't feel the pressure. I do. And some guys don't get too high in the moment and don't care about the spotlight and don't think they're doing anything special. And they are. But he, I don't think he gets the sense or feels, hey man, I'm on top of the freaking world. Because right now, from a football context, he is. All right, so again, looking for an under-the-radar, diamond-in-the-rough, X-Factor gem that nobody's really talking about, or not a lot of people are talking about, for the Commanders to win on the NFC Championship game on Sunday. And your thoughts on Jaden Daniels, do you buy the fact that he's, I'm not even thinking that far, meaning about playing in the Super Bowl? 301-230-0980, let's get back to it on the phones. And again, I do not want to hear anything more about promos and how tough I'm being, because I'm not being tough. If you want tough, go listen to New York Sports Radio. You'll find tough. This is Cheesecake Factory Radio over here, because God knows you guys can't handle anything remotely close to tough radio. Let's get to Mark and Chevy Chase on the Team 980. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, it's so nice to see. Listen, your question gives me a good chance to shout out all the CDL professionals, commercial truck drivers and things, because this morning I was behind two cement mixers with Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, on their cement mixer truck.
Oh.
And they were trucking it well, so I'm going to have to say Deron Payne.
Ooh, all right. I like that. Hey, you know what? Listen, yeah. Deron, I mean, look, Deron Payne, I think we all know, needs to, he plays well at times, but it's not noticeable impact enough, right? I think we can all say that. And like, if you just look at, you know, again, you know, just overall this season, right? It, I mean, for the amount of money that they pay him, and it's just one metric service, it's just not enough. He's the 23rd ranked defender on by PFF this year. Not good run defense-wise, sub 50 out of 100 grade, 27.8 in tackling, which is pathetic, 60.3 out of a pass rush, right? 38 total pressures. Mark, do you realize that they've played 17 regular season games and 19 games overall? He's got 38 registered pressures. That's two per game. For a guy that you're paying $24 million to, we all know that's not enough. So Deron Payne has to have a monster game for them to win.
Who knows? Who knows? It's going to be a team effort to not answer your question. And I really do hope that Deron Payne has a great... I have a poem for you. Can I give you a poem real fast?
Yes.
Let's have some fun. It's nice to see NFC East rivalry. And then the last one was... Let's take the lead. Hail to the HTTC.
It needs some work. Okay. I love you, but it needs some work. Get back to me with a better version of it. Thank you, Mark. I love Mark. Probably needs some work. Would you agree, Matt?
I like that. The one thing I will say is the next part is I respect the hell out of coming on Sports Talk Radio and dropping a little bit of poetry. That is mad respect for you.
Yeah. No. I like Mark that Mark is unique. And I mean, usually we hear from his girlfriend who likes birds and roots for every team that, you know, has a bird, you know, and we all know an eagle is a bird, right?
Quick counter, like this is entirely tangential, but I sent my girlfriend earlier today a video that was from, I think it's a clip from Ace Ventura when he's down on the field and it's the Dolphins versus the Eagles. but Ace gets into a fight with the Eagles mascot, and somebody clipped that and said, go Skins. And so I sent that over to her, and she was like, the Redskins don't even literally exist anymore. So I pointed out, hey, if Eagles fans can say, go Birds, I've met a couple commanders in the military. They, in fact, all have skin. So why can't we say go Skins?
I think a lot of people do say go Skins.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If they can say go Birds, go Skins.
All right, there you go. Now, we should point out your girlfriend, Lauren, is a
huge Eagles fan.
So she's from Philadelphia. So
yeah,
but
there's a reason.
This fan base would treat her like she's got 18 heads. Because how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? Let's go to our guy Pete in Wilmington next up. What's up, Pete, on the Odyssey app? How are you, pal?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad you're cutting down on the stupid callers. But anyway, you know, to this, I said the same thing last week. This is about a team that if we can just get ahead of them 7 to 10 points,
mm-hmm.
then the crowd starts to get quiet. The same thing that happened in Detroit, because nobody wants to lose to the Commanders. Nobody. It's almost an insult at this point, even though we've had a great year.
Do you really think that people think that it's, I mean, I know we had a couple of dopes from Detroit last week, but do you really think people would be like, oh, it's the Commanders, how could we lose to them? I think some of that's been washed away because people love Jaden Daniels. People hold Dan Quinn with high regard for the most part. I don't know if I get that from anybody that's actually smart.
All right, well, listen, let me put it another way. The Eagles fans in that stadium hate to lose to, well, yeah. hate to, don't want to be behind, don't want to lose to the Commanders
right.
no matter what.
But Pete, they'll be now, mad. They would be the mad. They would be mad whoever they lost. I mean, if they would have lost to the Rams last week and blown that lead, they would be furious. If it was the Lions this week and they were in Detroit, they would be furious. You know, I mean, like, I don't know if that's an insult towards the Commanders. I could be wrong, but I don't view it as
an insult. It's just a matter of that. Can you imagine after all we've had all these years of just a terrible team, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
out of nowhere,
yeah.
we're beating the top dog, and then we beat Philly once, and we've 7 in a row, the
yep.
whole Jaden Daniels thing. And see, the people, that's what happened last week. The team itself, the Detroit Lions, started to panic when we got ahead of them.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. When we get ahead, if something happens to the other team, they could have run more, but they didn't. But they started to panic, and
that's
the Eagles
fair.
Would do the
yes.
same thing.
That's fair.
That's what I'm trying to get to. So excuse me for that. But you know what? I think the whole defense is underrated and underappreciated.
I agree.
That's my opinion.
I think they have come up
so many times when they've had to. Yeah, they've had a couple breakdowns, but when it really mattered, they stopped somebody, like last week, the week before. And when it really mattered, they sacked somebody or they intercepted. The same, and the offense, if they could just keep the pressure on Philly, get ahead, that's massive in my mind, because the other team is they know they're explosive, the Commanders, and they know, oh my goodness, here we go. You know, if we get down 10 and the Skins keep scoring, it does something to the other team. That's what I've seen all year. They lose it and we win it. So, and as far as on offense, the one player I would say that's underrated and I think he's been a little hurt is Brian Robinson. And if you remember 2 years ago, he had a tremendous game against
Philly.
Yes,
he did.
Beat them.
Yes, he did. On that Monday night. And he had a really rough game the last time these two teams played in Landover. He fumbled a couple of times, once at the 10-yard line. So great call, Pete. As always, appreciate you. And thanks for staying on track. All right, more of your calls coming up. Again, we just want to talk about the football game, not promos. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. You can hear the NFC Championship game Sunday afternoon. Pregame coverage at 2. You can go to Honor Brewing in Sterling, Virginia to watch Burgundy and Gold pregame live with Linnell and Denton before the game, and the Sports Junkies watch party during the game on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so two main topics on the table. Do you believe Jaden Daniels? Do you buy Jaden Daniels that he's not thinking about being the first ever rookie quarterback to win a championship game and to get to the Super Bowl? He's the sixth rookie quarterback since the 70 merger to start a conference championship, would be the first one to win it. Last one, Brock Purdy, 2022. Mark Sanchez before that, 2009. Joe Flacco. Ben Roethlisberger in his rookie year. Sean King, right? So you have that. I do buy it when he says, you know, listen, I mean, he's so non-moved. He's so non-fazed. And it's not because he doesn't care. It's just who he is. Some people have no anxiety, no pressure, no worries. They don't get too high. And it's all part of what makes him him. And I wish I had that. God, who I wish I had that. I also wish I had 1/100th of the talent he has. I don't. He's also beaten the Bucks and the Lions with his arm. Not enough is being made of that. I don't know. I listen to a lot of sports talk radio. I listen to everything. Not enough people are talking about that. Okay? So that's one. And then we're looking for the under-the-radar, underrated, you know, off-the-grid kind of X factors that nobody's talking about that you think has to shine to win an NFC championship. I went with Dorrance Armstrong and Tyler Biadasz. Biadasz, I think, is a little more obvious than Armstrong, but Armstrong, if he can win his matchups largely with Lane Johnson, I think the Commanders are going to win this game. I think the Commanders win this game. What about you? All right, let's get a call in here. Let's go to D-Dub here before the bottom of the hour. What up, D-Dub? How are you?
What's up there, Rooster?
What's up, T-Dub?
Hey, look, Rooster, I want to tell you this, bro. I'm glad to hear your voice, man. You don't pay attention to them fools, man. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a dog pound dude from way back. You know what Brian and Doc would do with somebody called like that?
Yeah.
I used to laugh at it. The phone just go, bong.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is, D-Dub? I try and I appreciate that. I try and give everybody a chance, right? And Jeremy is fine. He was respectful. He just, everybody consumes things differently. Everybody views things differently. And I respect that, right? I have no problem with anybody that disagrees with me, right? Yes. It's when you want to control the script and when you say, well, I don't want to hear anything negative. Well, that's not the way it works. And it's just not the way it works, and it's never going to work that way. So, like if you want that, there's plenty of podcasts out there that are run by fans that will give you what you want. And I don't want anybody to leave us. I don't want to discourage people from listening. But you cannot expect me to not say anything negative about the team or anything positive about the opponent.
Hey, Rooster, you keep it 100, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep it 100 with you right now.
Shoot.
I'm going to tell you something, man. I've noticed. My two players, I got three players, really. But my two players, Carter and Barkley, you're right. They are ninjas. You're going to have to check them. So I don't know what they're talking about. Ray Charles can see that. But my two players are Lattimore and Samuel Steele. Did you know that Samuel Steele was breeded from that Sean Springs is his cousin or nephew? That boy's an athlete, man. And I'm going to let you know, he did a good job on Brown the second time.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and look, one more thing I want to say. The past two games, I didn't hear Lattimore's name. Did you?
He was involved in that third. He was only targeted once on Saturday night, and it was on third down on the first series, and the throw was behind Tim Patrick, but he was right there on the coverage. Other than that, I mean, listen, I knew he wasn't going to see a lot of Amon-Ra St. Brown because of him in the slot, but He'll see a lot of A.J. Brown this week, I tell you that much.
His name wasn't mentioned.
Yeah.
His name wasn't even mentioned Tampa Bay.
Well, no, it was. It was. In the first half against Mike Evans, it was. Yeah, D-Dub, I got to move along. I appreciate you, as always. I think Sanristil and Lattimore are obviously going to have to play solid, right? Nobody's expecting you to throw a complete blanket. What you can't have happen, is you don't get home on the pass rush, you don't put enough pressure on Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley's ripping off chunks of yardage, and he's playing pitch and catch. And especially if it's of the short variety and you're missing tackles because you're taking bad angles or you're being over-aggressive. Now, Sanristil is really, really, really physical and good at, I really believe, closing that window and being a bulldog. And Lattimore has got a lot of those traits, too. We just haven't quite seen it yet. I would look for Lattimore and Sanristil to not be a problem in this game. I would be surprised if anybody on Philadelphia's offense really impactfully beats the Washington defense, with the exception of Saquon Barkley. If they can control, you're not going to stop. If they can control Saquon Barkley, they have an exponentially better chance. Again, 5-yard runs can't turn into 50-yard runs. 7-yard runs can't turn into 65-yard runs. If you know, you know what that means. Let's do a quick trending alert. More of your calls on the other side. We are free and clear guest-wise, I believe, until 4 o'clock. So we'll have plenty of time for your calls. Stay tuned. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let's start with the Commanders on that practice field in the frigid cold in Ashburn as they get ready for the NFC Championship game. We went through the injury report last hour. Of course, lots of guys getting veteran rest days on Wednesday. We will see what the official injury report reveals later on today. But they are practicing out in the cold. It is expected to be around 40 degrees roughly at Lincoln Financial Field Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. You can hear the NFC Championship game right here starting at 2:30 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app by our friends at Westwood One. How about this? Matthew Stafford wants some time to think about what he's going to do with his quarterback playing future. Indicated that he's ready to come back, but Sean McVay wants an answer sooner than later. Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, who the Commanders will go against, and Lamar Jackson, the AP NFL Most Valuable Player Award-winning finalists. So we will see out of those three at the NFL Honor Show in New Orleans on February the 6th as to who wins the NFL MVP. Of course, it was Josh Allen and the Bills beating Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last Sunday night as the Bills advanced the AFC Championship game. If you missed Sean Merriman in hour number one talking Eagles, Commanders, and a little Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, hit the Odyssey Rewind or check out the podcast on the Team 980 on the Odyssey app. And the Capitals back in action tonight. Late night, 10 o'clock, 9:45 pregame. They're at the Seattle Kraken. Capitals 32-10-5, number one across the board in the NHL, taking on a Kraken team that struggled a little bit, 21-24-3. The action on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. All right, 2:39 on the Team, 980 on the Odyssey app. So again, we're looking for an under-the-radar impact player. Offense, defense, you want to do one on each? Fine, whatever. Just do it quickly. Give us a reason why you think that player will shine. Give me something of substance. No Jaden Daniels. We're not doing that. Don't be so obvious. Again, maybe I'm a little obvious in picking Tyler Biadasz at center. Duh, Chris. Of course, the center's got to be great. Well, it's even more important this week against Jalen Carter with no Sam Cosmi. Right? And whether, again, and I don't know what's going to happen, whether, again, it's moving Wiley inside. Remember, they might have a different plan that was speculated yesterday as opposed to the plan they went with in-game on Saturday night when, what's his name, Trent Scott came in. And he did a pretty good job. But they might have a different plan this week. And certainly that's going to either sink or swim. Here's what I know. When the Rams double-teamed Jalen Carter, they had a chance. When they didn't have a chance. And you can't let Jalen Carter destroy the integrity of this game, especially without Cosme. It was already going to be tough with Cosme and Biadasz. You cannot let Jalen Carter completely control this game. You can't. Otherwise, you know, again, we talked about it all last week, the natural running game, which is tough against this Eagle front. Not as tough against that Lions front. They started ripping up chunks of yardage on the second drive, and it was kind of over from there. This is a different front. This is a different front seven. Now, again, they're a little bit banged up because no N'Kobe Dean. But this is a really, really, really good front seven. I'd be surprised if the Commanders are able to naturally run the ball a whole lot in this game. And that's why I've been saying all week, it's got to be the combination of Jaden Daniels' arm, which is what he's killed the Lions and the Bucks with, and his legs, which has not been a major factor. It's been a little bit of a factor. It hadn't been a major factor. But Biadasz is where everything runs and where everything starts. And not finishes, but everything starts. And if he is what he has been for the most part this year, then the Commanders have a good chance. If he's ambushed and if he gets banged up or can't, you know, has got to come out or whatever the situation might be, or if he's just not very good and he's overwhelmed, then it's going to be really, really tough to win this game. Really tough. All right, let's get to some more of your calls. Let's go to Lou. Where are we going here? Lap has been on hold the longest. Lap, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Rooster? Shout
what's
out
up,
to
bud?
Matty Ice.
There you
hey,
go.
Hey, man. I just want to get this win, man. But I figured if we was going to lose, we should have lost to Tampa, Detroit. The moment is now. We got to seize it. I ain't buying it. If Jalen want to be the first rookie history, whatever, man, if you say anything, I know he's trying to win the championship. So we got to get there for that to even happen. You know what I'm saying? So, and the players that I choose, Eckler, I'm looking for him to have a big game.
I like that one. Remember he was really good in the screen game in Philadelphia on that Thursday night. So that's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole secondary, I need them all to play as a unit. You know, they scare me at times, but I like the way that they played against Detroit, and we need that, you know. And if we can give our offense a chance to score on the other end and force some turnovers again, man, that would be great. And let's get this win, man. We pumped.
There you go, Lap. Appreciate you. Here's the one thing I will say about the secondary. I mean, obviously, again, the matchups, as we've touched on, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, a somewhat compromised, let's just call it that, Jalen Hurts. Don't forget about Dallas Goedert. Could you imagine if Jahan Dotson's catching a touchdown in this game? I don't want to talk that one into existence, okay? But he did have a touchdown against the Green Bay Packers. Okay. But for me, the secondary, yes, of course, pass coverage is important. But tackling is so, so excruciatingly important in this game. Not only, hey, they throw a quick screen or a slant and you don't let it turn from 5 yards into, again, 30 yards, 40 yards, or whatever, which is some of what we've talked about with Saquon Barkley, right? Not only can you not, look, you're going to get beat from time to time. A.J. Brown's really good. He's a pain in the ass, but he's really good. Jalen Hurts is inconsistent. I think that's the best way I could say that. Even when Jalen Hurts is healthy, he's not and never has been the sharpest passer in the world, right? And we know he's not 100% healthy. So say he's compromised to some degree. Say he's trying to get the ball out quickly. You cannot have a situation where a corner is playing off-man coverage and lines a dude up, and dude spins out of it or runs through it and trucks through it and turns, again, a 5, 6, 7 yard short, quick passing play, whatever kind of route we're talking about, whether it be a tunnel screen, whether it be just a quick wide receiver hitch, whatever it might be, you cannot have that turn into a big play. And the secondary, again, being important, because if Saquon Barkley breaks through the first layer of defense, which we've seen plenty of, the question becomes is whether they can do what the Rams did not do on the 78-yard touchdown run, which almost iced the game, and that is arm around the ankles or the lower leg in position, sort of, and you don't make the play. If Jeremy Chinn, if Quan Martin, if Lattimore, if Sanristil, four really, really physical players, four pretty darn good tacklers overall, if they don't get Saquon Barkley, they're going to lose. If they make the play, hey, man, he's going to get his sevens. He's going to get his eights. But you can't let it turn into 78s like the Rams did. I can't say that enough. Don't worry about him getting 5 yards on first down. That's going to happen. You're going to give up something. For all the DVOA lunatics out there, and you know this show does not live by DVOA in any way, shape, or form, I don't care one bit about giving up 5 yards to Saquon Barkley on first down. Now, do you want to give up 5 yards every first? Of course not. But I'll take 5 yards on first down if he doesn't have a run, say, over, I don't know, 15 or 20 yards in the game. What you can't do is have a 78-yard touchdown run and a 62-yard touchdown run. You cannot allow that under any circumstances. Let's squeeze in one more here. Let's go to Franco. What's up, Franco? Hey. How are you?
Hey, Rooster. The last time, man, I was at the restaurant, I ordered a bowl of distastefulness. I didn't like it, man. I didn't like it. Then I came in today, you had a piece of humble pie, and it tastes pretty good. Then you gave me a tall glass. I got to call it like I see it on both sides. And I really understand that. So I'm going to leave you a tip of apologies. And Rooster, that dude with them poems, he was awful. I love you, man.
Thank you, Franco. Appreciate it. That was short and sweet. Appreciate it. We'll take a timeout. We'll stay on track. 248, Team 980. Listen, again, I have many more. I got to get some numbers in. I got to get some things in. I got lots of facts. I got lots of things I want to pass along to you guys about this game that we haven't really gotten to yet. Again, Jalen Hurts was limited in a walkthrough practice yesterday. He did say, I just saw our guest yesterday, Sal Palantoni, on ESPN a little while ago, holding up the Philadelphia, I don't know if it was the Inquirer or the Daily News. Jalen Hurts said, I will play on Sunday. I don't think anybody questioned that Jalen Hurts was going to play. The question is how compromised is he going to be? And maybe at the beginning, he's fine. But you heard Sean Merriman last hour. If you missed it, hit the Odyssey Rewind. Maddie's got it carved up for you, what have you. It's already up on the pod on the Odyssey app, Team 980, or at the team980.com. Sean Merriman said, be aggressive from the get-go. Blitz up the middle. Go after him. And that's more Joe Witt's style anyway. So I thought they would maybe play it a little bit more conservatively at the beginning. But Sean Merriman is saying, hey, man, you've got to attack him to find out where he's at, to find out if he can move, to find out if he can roll. And maybe that's what we'll see. Maybe we'll see blitzes, you know, those double A-gap blitzes, the twists, you know, the like with Luvu and Wagner coming from the middle and trying to attack the center and the middle of the offensive line. Maybe we'll see that on Sunday. I'm sure we will. The question is how early do we see it? How often do we see it? On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, we make the turn for 3 o'clock. Before we get to the announcement that we were probably supposed to do a little bit earlier, we will do that in 1 second. I just want to, before I lose track of this, according to Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philadelphia, update from Eagles practice, Dallas Goedert dealing with an ankle is at practice, but it, according to Zingaro, did not look like he was participating. Now, again, not the end of the world. Still got tomorrow. Still got a walkthrough on Saturday. Just keep that in mind. And Zingaro points out he did not see Cam Jurgens dealing with a back injury at all. So that's not a great sign, right? That's their starting center and their starting tight end. Now, they have Grant Calcaterra. They're starting their backup center, meaning the Eagles, is Nick Gates. How about that? My guy Nick Gates. That would be interesting.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That would be interesting. All right. So, you know, this has been a really tough week, some of which you don't even know yet. And maybe it has led to my crankiness overall. And I certainly don't, you know, I apologize for being a little hot under the collar or whatever. But with Pete's passing, you know, that hit us all really, really, really hard. And please, 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 if you can help, we have all the links, Team 980. Top of the Twitter page, what have you, it's posted or pinned or whatever it's called. If you have any questions, please hit me up. In addition, there's something else going on behind the scenes that I'm not going to talk about right now. I'm just not going to talk about it. And then there's this. One more thing. Now, I'm going to say this is both a sad and a happy moment, but I'm going to turn it over to my guy, Matt Essig, who has been with us here on this radio program for over 2 years, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact date, but over 2 years, Matt.
I think it was sometime in May that I ended up actually joining
May of 2023. 3?
2022,
I think it was.
I think it was 2022.
Because you worked with Pete for a number of months.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was with Pete for a while.
And Pete hasn't been with us on this show since March of 23, so it had to be like May of 22. Okay.
Yeah. But I've been working with you. I love working here. I love working with the show. But unfortunately, my time with Chris on the Chris Russell Show is coming to an end after this week. I thankfully got a job with a local production studio in DC, and I am going to be starting working there on Monday. Very excited to get this new opportunity. I'm obviously thankful to everybody that's been a part of the show, been a part of me producing, helping me out, giving me ideas on the phone. Everything that I've been able to do here, I'm so thankful for, and I am going to still be around. I can still do weekend shifts. I'm going to be doing some of the Nats broadcasts. Might next year be doing some of the game day broadcasts, so I'll be the producer for Denton and Linnell. Don't really know. Right now, still working that out. But unfortunately, this means that after this week, Chris and I will no longer be doing the daily show here on Team 980. Chris is going to get another wonderful producer.
Yeah.
And
we'll have an announcement on that when the time is due. I just want to say this. You know, first of all, I'm very, very, very happy for you. You know that.
Thank you.
Tough day for us, tough week, whatever. It's tough for the show. We will figure things out. We will make things happen. Please, you know that, you know, we have a plan, okay? But this is more about Matt getting rewarded and earning you know, something that is very, very, very difficult in the current radio business. And that is a full-time position where you can have a normal life and you have a regular, you know, paycheck and benefits and vacation and all that support. And unfortunately, that just wasn't the way things worked here for various reasons. Okay. So, you know, while you should know this, I'm sad to be losing you. I appreciate everything that you've done for the show. I think everybody that gives you shout outs and talks to you and mentions you, you should know the impact that you made. But we're, you know,
you're going to make me cry.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. We're very proud of you.
Thank you. So, and to everyone that wants to continue hearing us yell at each other.
Yeah.
The podcast is still rolling. I mean, it's a little delayed.
We had to take a little break because of the football and everything
going on. But
exactly.
It's not dead.
Yeah,
so
we will roll it back. Rooster and the Rookie. No doubt about it. If you like wrestling, Matt and I do a little new venture that you can hear both of us together. And occasionally, maybe we'll work together in some capacity. But I'm so happy for you and so proud of you. And I want to thank your mom, your family. You guys have all been great to me. Lauren, you know, just everybody. You know, that is associated with your world, and you know, I can't thank you enough for all the work that you did, you know, for the show. Some of it, which people don't realize, is unpaid and all that stuff and behind the scenes. And you had to deal with me.
I would say that was one of the easier aspects of working this show.
I don't know if everybody would agree with that.
Well, not everybody has normal Wednesdays and Thursdays that we have.
We'll have a little celebration tomorrow. That's true. We'll have a little celebration tomorrow. Already got some things in the hopper. But yeah, Matt's leaving us after tomorrow. He's going to stay at the radio station, so he's not gone forever. He's just not going to be on this show anymore because, not a bad thing, a good thing, because he's rightfully been granted an awesome opportunity, still in the business, and we wish him well, and you can reach out to him, and he'll tell you whatever he wants to tell you, at Mr. Underscore Me 93, at Mr. Underscore Me 93. He'll be back with us, you know, for the final hour today and tomorrow, so you have a chance to, you know, say a little something. But, you know, of course, remember, got a radio show to do, and we've got a big NFC Championship game, a final hour to come with lots of numbers that you may not be aware of next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.